It really is wonderful to see you guys. Nice to be with you. What amazing worship. And I love the hunger and expectation of God to do something with us on Pentecost Sunday. And fresh wind and fresh fire is what the church needed then. It's what the church needs now. And I think fresh wind and fresh fire. It's like God needs to blow upon his church, and God needs to fire up his church for the mission that God has for his church. And so often that fresh wind and fresh fire becomes about me, but it is about me, but it's about me as I'm on the mission of God. If we're not moving, it's very difficult to find exactly what's going on. When we're moving, God blesses because he gives us what we need for the mission. And so we want to be these people that are on the go, on the move. And it's not just about me, it's not just about my mission, it's about what God's mission is and me accompanying him and doing, partnering with him and getting on with what he has for us. And that's actually what Pentecost is about. And so let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24, and then I want to go to Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 and look at this wonderful moment in the history of the church and the history of the people of God. The church wasn't birthed in the book of Acts at Pentecost, but it was empowered at a whole new level because the people of God always existed from Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 1 to 11, theologians will say, is double the amount of time from Genesis chapter 12 till now. Double the amount of time. Only 11 chapters, but double the amount of time where God is building this case for evil building and this time coming, and then God just says, that's enough. And Noah and his family are saved, and the ark is there to hold on to God's redeemed. And then God calls one person, Abraham. And so the people of God are beginning to be birthed through the faith of one man. Through his obedient faith, this very not perfect man, this man who kind of just heard God, and because he was obedient to God, he was credited with righteousness, and so becomes the father of faith for the people of God. And so the beginnings of Israel, the people of God, are created, are started. They were always meant to be the light of the world. They were always meant to be the light to the nations. They were blessed with the law to show them how different they were meant to be. And how they were meant to shine the light of God, the heart of God, to the nations beyond them, not become like the nations around them, which they did. So God intervenes, he sends prophets, he sends all sorts of people to say, don't do this, don't do that, come back to me. And all that the Lord did was expose their need of, like the other nations, for themselves to be saved. But God is not thwarted by the plan of human failure, ever. Can I just say that again? God is never thwarted by the plan, by human failure, ever. God's plan and purpose is never, ever thwarted by yours or my failure. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, he's able to weave human failure into his plan so that it looks like it was his plan. Don't ever think that your failure will disqualify you from anything that God has for you. Don't think that, ever. God brings this thing together, and in the fullness of time and according to the goodness and the wonderful pleasure of God, Jesus comes on the scene and becomes everything that Israel wasn't. He becomes their Messiah. He becomes their Lord and their Messiah, their Savior. Everything that Adam and Eve wasn't, everything that Adam and Eve messed up, Jesus doesn't. He lives the life that you and I and Adam and Eve should have lived. And he dies the death that you and I should have died. And he becomes the Redeemer. He becomes the Savior. He becomes the one that brings it all back together again in him. And those that put their faith in him come back together in Him and find their purpose in Him. And so He becomes the hinge of history around which the people of God swing. And so that moment in Christ when He said, "It is finished," becomes this most significant moment in the history of humanity, as God's plan comes into being, His redemption plan, His plan that my purpose will prevail. And this time, my plan and my purpose will never fail, because in Christ it never fails. When you're in Christ, you will never fail. You will fail, but He will never fail. So stay in Him, because then your failures somehow get sorted out. And He ascends. He dies. He gets raised from the dead. He teaches for 40 days about the kingdom of God. He teaches His people that God is king. That's what the kingdom of God means. God is king. Can I just let you know, God is king. Jesus is king. I'm alive. I'm bearing the fact. Jesus says, "I am alive." You can see I'm alive. Jesus, I am king. All authority has been vested back into me. I am Lord of all. I am Savior of all. I am what you have been hoping for. Put your faith in me. And He teaches them this. And in Luke chapter 24, at the end of it, you see Jesus teaching them. And so let's have a look at this. Luke chapter 24, last few verses, in verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Everything must be fulfilled what was written to me in the whole of the Old Testament. Friends, all of the Old Testament points to Jesus. Everything finds its culmination in Him. Everything, including our lives. Just because it's the Old Testament doesn't mean it's old and it gets old. What keeps it fresh is Jesus. Jesus keeps the old new. Don't get old in Christ. We should never get old in Jesus. We should never get grumpy in Jesus. We should stay new in Him. He carries on. Then He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He opened their minds. Jesus, please open our minds that we would understand the Scriptures. Jesus, open our minds, Lord, please. Unless He opens our minds, we can't understand the Scriptures. He told them this. This is what is written. Listen to this. This is Jesus talking, so that we will understand the Scriptures. This is the key to understanding the Old Testament Scriptures. "The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name." Everything that blocks you from coming back to God, all your debt, all your death, all your disease, every disqualification that stops you from being back, coming back into relationship with God, is taken up in me. Repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in my name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. See, it's not just the forgiveness of sin. It's the forgiveness of sin on the mission of God to all nations. It's never just about me and my salvation. It's about me being saved with purpose for the salvation of the nations. Always, that's Abraham's call. Blessed to be a blessing. That's the church. The church was never be blessed to be blessed. The church was blessed to be a blessing to the nations. I will bless you. I will rescue you, he tells Abraham. I will make you into a great nation. I will make you famous. I will give you everything you need. And anybody that comes against you, I will defeat them so that you will be a light to the nations, is what he says to Abraham in a Stan's version. You are witnesses of these things I'm going to send to you, what my father has promised. You are witnesses of these things. You're witnesses of these things, that I am alive. I'm going to send you what my father has promised. Lord God, send us what you've promised. Over and over again. Lord, you've promised more. Lord, we cannot do without your promise, Lord. Your church cannot be the church without your promise. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So the promise and power have got to do with each other. You see, the church in every season, in every nation, in every culture needs fresh wind and fresh power and fresh fire. Because it's the promise of God for his people so that repentance of sin will be preached to all nations. So that we'll give an understanding of who this Jesus is. From there, let's go to Acts chapter 1, which is Luke continuing to write. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Amazing that Jesus is teaching through the Holy Spirit. God is using God to teach us. When we teach, we need God to help us teach. Jesus did. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, that God is king over all. All things, all places, all lives, all things. God is king. The kingdom of God has come. It's right here. Repent and believe. Change the way you think. I'm going to get to that now. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. But wait. For the gift my Father has promised you, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. See, John baptized you for the forgiveness of sin. John baptized you for repentance, toward a baptism of repentance. But I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I will immerse you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that spirit is my spirit. And it's like I'm going to immerse you in myself, in one sense. But I'm going to immerse you in another sense in the person of the Holy Spirit, because God's both one and three at the same time. It's very confusing. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you going to this time to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, a good question they asked him. Lord, the gift, the promise, does this mean Israel? It's an obvious question for them. He said to them, can I just say he said to them? It didn't say he said to him. It said to them. It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. It's not for you to know the details of when and where. That's not the point here. The point is, God is king. The point is, I am king. I'm back in charge. I'm here. And you have access to me. I am the king, and you have direct access to the king. I have direct access to my Father, and you have direct access to me, which means you have direct access to the Father. God is in charge, and you have absolute bold faith to come before him and access him. Stop worrying about the details. You've got a job to do. How many people have built theology on times and dates? Friends, forget about the times and dates. Forget about the times and dates and worry about the power of the Holy Spirit that's given to us to become witnesses of him. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Forget about the details. Forget about the stuff that you don't have to know. Forget about times and dates. Stop putting cues on this thing and that thing. Just get on with the job. Worry more about what I've given you than what you don't know and think you do know. What you do know is you've been given a promise and you've been given a gift. Now receive the gift, receive the promise, and begin to live in it and become the witness and become this group of people, this unlikely group of people that I'm going to pull together and show the world what it looks like to live under Jesus as God again. The church. The church. My people. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. None of that matters anymore. What matters is the fresh wind and the fresh fire that I've got available for you to go and be witness of mine, wherever you are. And in fact, I'm going to transcend language. I'm going to give you an ability to be my witness even where language is a barrier. And you're going to be witnesses. You will be my witnesses. And that word witness there is the word where we get our, the Greek word is where we get our word martyr from. One who bears witness by his death. That's what it means. So I'm going to give you power so that you can die to yourself and so that you can be my witness into the world. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to testify about me like in a court of law. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to tell people that I'm in charge. You're going to tell people that I love them. You're going to tell people that I've come back for them. You're going to tell people your story of how you came back to me and I came and fetched you and how I loved you. And it's not just going to be your story about how bad you were and how good you are now. It's going to be a story of how God continually loves me and how God continually empowers me to be a different person today than what I was yesterday. Because if I stop growing, I know I've finished. I've got to keep growing in him. This is not I've got my fire insurance and I'm done now. This is I want more of you, Lord God. Deal in God. I want to give testimony, a current testimony, a today's testimony of yesterday, of today, of this morning. God spoke to me. Testimony. Let's move to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, go and wait for the promise, for the gift. Go and wait there. Do not move from Jerusalem. Do not move. I tell you what, friends, part of the reason why the church doesn't walk in power is we are so busy we don't know how to wait. We don't know how to pray and we don't know how to wait. And those two things are put together. We don't know how to be a waiting, praying church. We're so busy, ready for the next thing. What's the next thing that's going to bring more people in? Some trick, some gimmick. Friends, wherever Jesus is, people are. There is never a moment where Jesus doesn't attract a crowd. All we got to do is build an environment where Jesus is. The crowds will come. That environment, that church has longevity because it's built on Jesus. The other stuff has got a very short lifespan. These guys are now waiting in this room for 10 days, waiting. In the meantime, they've appointed another disciple, another, because Judas had to be replaced. You kind of want to be quite spiritual with this, and like Peter was this amazing guy. Well, we know Peter wasn't this amazing guy. He was this impetuous, he like couldn't sit still for 2 minutes. And you can just imagine Peter in the upper room. And this is like a human version of what's going on in the upper room. Thinking, what the hell are we doing here? Lord, thank you that you told me to feed your sheep, but this lot? Really, Lord? Imagine him. He's like impatient as anything. And God said, wait. It's like reading the text, reading the scriptures. They're joining together constantly in prayer. It says in verse 14. In verse 15, it says, and Peter stood up among the believers. Brothers and sisters, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David, that we now got to replace Judas. And I'm sitting there thinking, did he like have this massive revelation, like out of God, like, which we often think he was? Or was he like you and me? Sorry, not like you. Or was he like me? And he's getting bored because he's been there for 10 days praying. And somehow he gets onto this text because he's kind of scrolling through his phone. You know, hey, Flip, check this thing. You know, actually, hey, Flip, guys, we've got to replace Judas, shall we? I'm not doing much at the moment. Let's do that. And then finds a scripture to do it on. Oh, then cast lots to make it happen. It's a little gambling in the process. Throw that in there. Friends, these were humans like you and me. Full of frailty, full of weakness. I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm being a bit naughty. But when the day of Pentecost time came, in verse 1 of chapter 2, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, like a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and the whole place was filled. Verse 3, they saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled. I love what Mark said. All of them. I have that underlined in my Bible. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were those staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. Each one heard in their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they were asked, aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is each of us hearing them in our native language? Verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? My question for us is, what did Pentecost mean? What a great question to ask when something in God is happening that you don't understand. You don't like, oh no, that can't be God because I don't understand it. Actually, no, you're inquiring, step leaning into it. God, I don't understand this, but what does this mean? Somehow ever made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. So some are saying, Flip, what does this mean? Lord, please show us. And some of them are saying, oh, bunch of idiots. Then Peter stood up with the 11. Peter's doing a lot of standing up, which is what happens when the Spirit of God moves. People stand up and begin to walk into what God has for them. He raised his voice and said to the crowd, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you, listen to me carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what has been spoken by the prophet Joel. He goes to Joel chapter 2. And in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on these days and they will prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the blood moon into blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All people, what you see now happening is God pouring out his spirit, is Jesus pouring out his spirit on all people. You killed him, he goes on later to say, but God raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand. And now you, what you see is him pouring out his spirit on his church to make sure that they get the job done, what he started. And by the way, it was the Father's plan right from the beginning. There's no discontinuity. On all people, young and old, all people, male and female, all people. No matter what nationality, no matter not what culture you are, all people, this spirit comes on all people so that they can become these witnessing, martyring people into the world. Verse 36, he goes on, he says, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified. I mean, he is getting into their faces. Whom you crucified, both Lord, he's King again. But he's also Messiah. He's also the one who's fulfilled the story of God. Whenever you see that, it's the story of God has been fulfilled. You see, friends, this anointed one, this Messiah, fulfilled the story that we're part of. The resurrection of Jesus was the dawning of the first day of new creation. Jesus enters alive from the dead as the firstborn into the age to come. This new age, this age we long for when we one day die, to be with him, it's now. He's the firstborn of that creation. But before he ascends to the right hand of the Father, he commissions this little group of followers to continue his mission of making the good news of the kingdom known until he returns. He takes his place at the right hand of the Father to reign in power over all creation. This is the story. He then pours out his Spirit on them. And now by the Spirit working in and through his disciples, he makes known his restoring rule as they live out and proclaim this good news. That's the church. The church does not exist for the church. The church exists for the mission of God. The church exists for the sake of the nations. The church exists so that the love of God would reach all people, neighbors and nations. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Peter says this, listen, for you to get this, you've got to change the way you think about this. You've got to understand heaven has come to earth in Christ. The first fruits of this new creation has been with us. And now by his Spirit, you become those first fruits readied for that new creation. And you take that new creation reality wherever you go. You carry the Zoe life of God. You carry the kingdom of God wherever you go. You become the temple. You become this guarantee of what's to come. You become this preview of this beautiful movie that's going to be played one day when Jesus returns. You become this prophetic eschatological people. Just throw in a big word there. But you become this prophetic people that is anticipating the future and living the future and speaking about the future and demonstrating the future and living in this place where heaven comes to earth. The church. You see, friends, that's the church. Fresh wind and fresh fire. The church without fresh wind and fresh fire is not the church Jesus anticipated. Are we hungry and are we humble enough to say, God, we need you, Lord? There's so much in the church that you can orchestrate by human means. But the real life of the church, there's nothing that you can orchestrate by human means. That thing that gets into somebody's heart to completely transform them, to put a zeal inside of them that is unquenchable, can't be done because of clever programs and systems. It has to be done by the Spirit of God. And this Spirit of God fell upon them and produced this. And thousands of years later, that little group of people has created the church that is now the church. Repent. There's more. Lord, give me more. Not just say, I'm sorry, but Lord, there's more. I've got to change the way I think about this, Lord. I'm part of the story, Lord. I want to partner with you, Lord. Maybe the story that I've got in my head for my life is actually not the story God had in his head for my life. You thought of that? Maybe the story that God has for me is different to the story that I have for me. God is going to empower the story that he has for me, not the story that I have for me. Because it's his story that's going forward, not my story. We join his story. I don't join him. He doesn't join mine. His plan and future for my life is part of the plan and future for his life. When Jesus comes into my life, he doesn't come into my life, he becomes Lord of my life because he's king. He doesn't get into the passenger seat of my car and I keep driving. It's his car. There's a fundamental shift that happens. I realize this car that I'm driving is not mine, it's his. And I get into the back seat and say, God, please take me where you want me to. He takes over the drivership. He's the Lord. He's the owner. Friends, we need the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing that it is a gift. We can't earn it. And it is a promise. We just got to take it, receive it. And what's incredible, friends, with many other words, he warned them in verse 40 and pleaded with them. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. I wonder what he said. He warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. He's like saying, just listen, the generation around you, it's going to take you away from you. Be careful. Let me be Lord. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Listen to this. This community of people, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. See, this thing, this Spirit of God that was poured out on them, put this thing in them that they knew this. We've got to keep on with what these guys are saying. about Jesus being king. This community that he's put us in is very important. I might not like that guy and I might not be friends with that guy, but what we have in common is him. And we've got to stay together and we've got to be committed to each other, because what God has for us, we can only do together. And not only that, we're going to need each other for what God has for us. Friends, there needs to be again a revelation of what the local church, the importance of the local church in God's plan and purpose. Not just the church. When you're walking around in the mall, you're not doing church. You're walking in the mall. The local church, where you're together in a diverse group of people that has this one thing in common, Jesus, and you're getting on with it even though you're not friends. But somehow God causes you to love each other. And you're committed to this. And they broke bread. They forever remembered what Jesus did for them. And they never forgot this key aspect of Christian life, prayer. Friends, there's three meetings in the New Testament church. A prayer meeting, a house-to-house meeting in their homes, and then in the temple courts meeting, big meetings, Sunday meetings. For us, Sunday meetings. That's it. Sunday meetings, home groups, small meetings, small groups, and prayer meetings. That's it. That's where the life of God flowed in this group of people. You know, we were singing earlier about the incense of God. You know what the incense is in the scriptures? The prayers of the saints. Friends, we are calling out to God for the power of God, but we're not undergirding it with his requirement, which is the prayer of God, prayer of the saints. God is bringing his church back to prayer. It is a key part of this next step in God for the church. Pray. Now be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God and pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Let your sweet incense go up to him. I want you to go for 10 days into the upper room and wait for me and pray. Not just individual prayer, together prayer. It's awkward, it's difficult. On Thursday night, we prayed for unreached groups. It's awkward, it's difficult. It's like, how do we pray? I don't know how we pray. But friends, we've got to be in prayer. We've got to learn to pray together. What I want us to do this morning is we quickly managed to pull together some bread for breaking of bread. Wasn't planning to do that this morning. On this Pentecost Sunday, I'd love us to just grab the elements. Sure, they are there. I don't know where the bits of bread are. There's some at the back, I see. I don't know where the ones in the front are. Are they there? I just can't see it. And let's go and grab the elements. Let's come back to our seats, come back to our where we're sitting. And together we're going to break bread. And part of my prayer is, Lord, please will you come again, Lord, with fresh wind and fresh fire on your church, Lord. Fresh wind and fresh fire, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, even as we go and fetch these elements now, Lord. Brandon, maybe you can. Lord, Father, we ask you what you did in Acts chapter 2. You seem to do again in Acts chapter 4 as the people were praying. And you seem to do over and over again through the book of Acts as the people were praying. Lord, we cannot get on with your mission without your power. And we ask you this morning, Lord God, humbly, Lord God, we know we don't deserve it, Lord God. We know we don't merit it, Lord God. That's why we thank you for the gift. We thank you for the promise, Lord. I pray that you would put and birth within us, Lord God, a spirit of prayer, Lord. Where your church would become the source of incense. That would change cities and neighborhoods and nations, Lord God. Lord, we're not without an ounce of striving, Lord God, or just say, Father, thank you for the gift. Thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We want to be your witnesses, Lord. In Durban and KZN and South Africa and to the ends of the earth, Lord. We acknowledge, Lord God, we cannot do that without you, Lord. Teach us to pray, Lord. It's so evident in the scriptures, Lord God. You never ever taught. It's amazing things, this, friends. Jesus never taught his disciples to preach. He taught them to pray. So much of the church is around preaching and not praying. He taught his church to pray. Our Father in heaven, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that you would, Spirit of God, the same Spirit that was there in Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, that's here now. Revive us, O God. Never mind the world, revive us, Lord God. Revive us in a spirit of prayer. Hungry, thirsty, worshipful, prayerful power, Lord God. Father, we come and get these elements now, Lord God. We just say thank you for your blood, Lord. Thank you for your body, Lord. Let's come forward and just grab these. There's some at the back as well. Thank you so much for those that rushed around and got these going in the middle of worship. Thank you. just where you are. Don't stay. Actually, I'm so glad you're sitting. Not an ounce of striving what God wants to do this morning. Tell you what, friends, that group that met in the room, we're not fancy people. They were diverse. They were nobodies. They were young. They were inexperienced. They were discouraged. The one that put their hope in it just died. And they'd seen him come back to life, and now, what now? Lord, what now? You can imagine the tension, the humanity of their Lord, but okay, now you're gone, but that's great, but now what now? Go and wait. Yeah, but what? Wait for what? The promise, the gift. What do you mean? Friends, wherever you're at, doesn't matter how discouraged you are, doesn't matter how disqualified you feel, doesn't matter how unworthy you feel, this is what we can be. The blood and the body of Jesus. Bold thee into his presence. And as we drink this and eat this, as I'm praying, Lord God, that I pray God would strip judgment off of you. I pray God would strip disqualification off of you. God would strip off everything, the worry, and he would cement faith and life and the confidence he has in you to get the job done for him, and the confidence he has in us in choosing us. And I pray, Lord God, as we do that, that you'd fall on your church, Lord, again. Empower us, Jesus. Fill us, Lord. Put an unearthly zeal in us, Lord, that would consume us, that would make us white hot for you, Lord. Just thank you for that, Lord. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your body, Lord God. Was broken for us, Lord. When I look at my life, Lord God, I just see how broken I am, Lord. How unworthy I am. I would not be the lamb that would be chosen to represent the world, because I'm full of weakness and spots and blemishes. When I eat of this body, Lord, I eat of the perfect man that covers over my weakness, that makes me into a workmanship, a handiwork, a work of art in your kingdom, Lord God. I pray that would be true this morning, Lord God. So we eat of your body, Lord God. Just say thank you, Father, for making us whole. Sit in your presence, Lord God. Not out of disrespect, but of just restful confidence. Father, I thank you for your blood, Lord God, which is a sign of the new covenant, Lord God.
It's the assurance, Lord, that everything that I have done, everything that I am doing, and everything that I have will ever do that is not aligned with your kingdom is forgiven. And I thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm free from the penalty of sin, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you've also given me the ability to be free from the power of sin, so that I can say no to ungodliness, Lord. And I pray that that grace would flood our hearts again this morning, Lord. Thank you that you love us perfectly, Lord. And perfect love drives out fear, Lord. I pray those that are struggling with anxiety today, Father, that this morning perfect rest would enter hearts and minds, Lord. Thank you for your blood, Lord. God, that fill us with your spirit like never before, Lord God. With a fresh wind and a fresh fire. That this city would be a different place, Lord. That this nation would be a different place. That the nations of the world be a different place because of your people, Lord God. Hungry and humble, Lord. For more of you, Lord God, and humble to know that it comes from you, Lord God. Just thank you, Lord God. I pray even today, Lord God, I pray people would meet with you, Lord. I pray in our beds, Lord God, around our dining room tables, Lord God, I pray your spirit would fall on your church, Lord God. I pray our prayer meetings would be the central hub of everything we do, Lord. That we would win the battle in heaven and it would be realized on earth, Lord. Just thank you for what you're doing in the life of the church, Lord. Your church, Lord. I pray that it's not just Pentecost Sunday, Lord God, that reminds us of these things, Lord. It's every Sunday we want fresh wind and fresh fire, Lord. It's not a moment on a calendar, it's a moment in our life, Lord. Ongoing, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Lord. Fear, go now in the name of Jesus. Anxiety, go now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus, in people's bodies, Lord God. Just as we sit in your presence, Lord. Demonic oppression to come off of people in the name of Jesus. Just thank you, Lord. Financial freedom over people. Father, come, Lord. Breakthrough, life and love, Lord. Relationally, families, Lord God, neighbors, Lord. Thank you for these things in your incredible, incredible name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.